What's like the most pagpag location? Mm. Like what's going on in that area? Mm. A lot of the beliefs have to do with breaking the cycle of death.
Basically. There's like Pizza Hut at the cemetery. Why am I so excited?
So at least one person has to stay awake the entirety of the time. The belief is also the candles should never go out. Mm-hmm. So the reason we don't put shoes on the corpses.
Yes.
This is also the reason why you have to cover all of the mirrors.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
These are missed opportunities.
It will help you because you're going to be burdened by your feelings.
Oh.
It won't let
you need to give
on.
Him closure.
Yeah.
Before.
Like.
I know you.
Hide your feelings. Keep them to yourself. My mom makes amazing slow-cooked adobo. You're not allowed to serve pancit. So no tinola and no pancit. But also, if you're on your period, you're not allowed to.
What? Go. What's the logic in that?
So you're not. There's no logic.
Designated survivor?
Yeah, like a designated survivor. Bruce Willis is like a beautician for the dead.
And he was already dead. Dun, dun, dun.
Because he did. What does it mean when it rains on a bright sunny day?
Why do I have to turn my clothes inside out every time I get lost?
And why does your pantry always have to be ready with adobo ingredients at any point in time?
I don't know, but we'll find out. I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. And this is the Gods Must Be Crazy. We are super passionate about Philippine mythology and folklore. And we want to learn about it, with each other.
Yeah.
So, every other week or so, we will be bringing stories that we're super interested and curious about and telling it to each other. And we'd love if you could join us.
So join us to learn about where these myths come from, mm-hmm. what are they all about, and do these myths persist till today?
Hello.
Hi.
So, I'm very excited about the topic we're covering today,
mm-hmm.
and we're probably going to have to do it in two parts or so,
okay.
Because it's coming at a very timely period. So by the time we will release this, it would be Halloween season, but no, it's not going to be like horror stories. It's really more around the, like, what do we celebrate around this time of year? Well, not celebrate.
We kind of celebrate it.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I mean, we kind of.
So, we don't really have, like, a big kind of Halloween culture.
No.
Right? Trick-or-treat isn't really a thing. It's just maybe, like, they do it for the kids in, like, some villages and stuff like that. But it is a holiday in the Philippines.
Yes.
And the holiday is actually on November 1st and 2nd, which is All Saints Day and All Souls Day, respectively, which we call Undas.
Undas. Or Araw ng Mga Patay, or Day of the Dead.
Exactly. Day of the Dead. And, you know, it's a very interesting occasion because it's a non-working holiday, right? That's one. Number two... People really take the time off and they would go, like, my family, we would go back from Manila to Pampanga. We would all gather in Pampanga.
Yeah.
I bet you guys went back to Batangas.
That was the day where you go to Batangas and Bacoor and Cavite Cavite.
Exactly.
All in one day.
Exactly. And it's so traffic, especially in, like, Manila North Cemetery, like, those different areas.
Manila South in Makati.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's because families gather together to hang out at the cemetery.
It's kind of fun.
And they bring flowers, they bring candles, they bring food.
Mm-hmm.
They chill out with their dead relatives at the cemetery, basically.
There's like Pizza Hut at the cemetery. I'm not kidding because that's like, we're going to get Pizza Hut.
Yeah. So that's what that period means for Filipinos. So we really kind of, it's similar to the Spanish, like, day, the Mexican Day of the Dead, for example, where it's like this, you know, pretty much a big celebration. You're kind of celebrating the life of the people who've passed on, and you kind of spend time with them. Sometimes you bring like their favorite food, right? So in the case of my uncle, it would be bringing him beer.
So fun.
And maybe a pack of smokes.
Nice.
By his
tomb. Nito. Yeah.
So it's a very fun occasion, and it's really interesting because we kind of take it for granted, but it's not really something that people practice in other parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
So that got me thinking about our own beliefs and superstitions about death, about burial, and about the afterlife.
Yes.
So we're going to cover this in two parts. So today we're recording part one, and part one is going to be about what are the different superstitions and beliefs about death that are observed to this day. And part two is going to be, what are the beliefs about death and the afterlife and burial of our ancestors? So pre-colonial period.
We're building the bridge from two ends.
Yes.
Which is a horrible business euphemism.
Because I think one part of it is there were very interesting beliefs from pre-colonial times and very interesting practices that you really would like raise your eyebrow at today. But the funny thing is, if you take a step back, a lot of our beliefs and superstitions, we don't question them.
No, you just take them.
But they're also very strange and interesting. So I want to cover, and there are a lot. So we're going to cover, you know, they're going to be a lot. So I'm going to try to cover at least the most interesting ones. And I'm going to try to chunk them into like, you know, which kind of superstitions go together. So I'm very excited. So
are we going to be like, this one we believe, this one we don't, this one I've done? Are we going to like put one finger down for everything you've done?
But then you run out of fingers. I'm like, know.
There's
40,
so many.
50 ones. But
there's so many.
Maybe before we jump into the actual superstition, let's explain a little bit how a typical wake and funeral would go for a majority of the Philippines. And
but it's still varied. But
it's
still varied.
So my caveat is, Anima and I, you know, are mostly from the Tagalog kind of tradition. Or she's from Batangas, I'm from Pampanga. So it would go to that extent.
Like northern.
There are probably going to be some superstitions here that are specific to Ilocos, to Visayas. I'll indicate where it is. But granted, it's not going to be all-encompassing, right? So we'll talk about that.
And also there are some traditions that are not necessarily geographically specific, but also Filipino-Chinese people.
Filipino-Chinese. There's a lot that is linked with Catholicism as well.
Yeah.
So maybe before we jump to the superstition itself, let's talk a little bit about the process, the normal process, like what happens, right? So
why am I so excited? I got so many relatives who have died. I'm so excited to share.
That's a weird thing to say, but all right.
I know.
So typically what happens is after your relative dies, you would hold a wake for them. And the wake usually lasts anywhere from like 5 to 7 days typically, and then you would bury them. Or sometimes 9 days actually. So it's around a week or so.
So for
sometimes longer if you're waiting for your relatives who are from abroad to fly back.
My granddad, when he died, my mom was in the US.
Yeah.
And so and her flight wasn't until later on. So we had him, we had his wake for 21 days.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
That's so long.
It's so long. But there was a part, you know, I'm sure you'll get to it. It was like events.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm sure you'll talk about what a wake is like, because like versus like what Western people have, which is there is a schedule of when you can come in and view the body. And it's usually like a 2-hour window lang. Unlike wakes in the Philippines, which is when we say we hold a wake,
it's like free for all.
Everyone is there. The body is never alone.
Yeah, so that's part of the superstition. So we hold the wake, correct, for the entirety of the period before the funeral. And then sometimes families do a novena for 9 days, right?
Yes.
And, you know, obviously it's linked with the Catholic, like, 9 days of prayer, etc. But did you know that it was actually rooted from a pre-colonial belief that your soul will not start entering the afterlife until the 9th day?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they would wait for 9 days and then they would finally celebrate because you're finally going to the afterlife.
I thought they were doing that because back in the day they weren't sure if you were dead yet. Just in case.
Some cultures believe that. Yeah. Some cultures like wait for you to like come back, and if you don't come back, then they'll bury you eventually. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And aside from the 9 days, we also do the 40 days, which is 40 days after a person dies, you go back, visit the cemetery, etc.
Or have a mass.
But that's more of a Catholic belief linked to the, you know, Jesus.
Resurrection, Pentecost, and things like that.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's the official period of mourning ends after 1 year.
Yes.
And then everyone goes back and we hold a mass and we celebrate and that ends the mourning. And that's important
because there's a party usually.
Yeah. And that's important because like over the period of mourning, some families are less strict about this than others. Mm-hmm. You don't wear bright colors.
Yep.
You wear typically, or you would wear a black pin with you for a year, right? Our friend Grace is Chinese and they're not allowed to wear bright colors for like a year. Mm-hmm. And I think one time, like, her grandparents, like, consecutively died. So for like 2-3 years, she had to wear...
She only had blue, purple.
Light blue, light purple, white.
White, black.
Yeah.
But not even a lot of black because black is also unlucky. So...
So
but
it was very jarring when she was finally wearing like orange. Pink. You're done.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so now we jump into the superstition. Okay. So a lot of it has to do with what's the etiquette during a wake.
Yes.
Right? What do you do if you're a guest? What do you do if you're part of the family?
We have to set the stage of where a wake would be because wakes are also different.
Sorry, where was I? I lost my train of thought.
The superstitions that happened during the period.
Yeah, so some of it happens during the wake. Some of it, and that's for the guests. Some of it is for the family who's hosting. Like, there are certain things you can or cannot do. And there are some superstitions, like, after what happens, right? Yes. So, picture this, all right? There would be two different places where a wake would typically happen. So, especially for the city where there isn't a lot of room to, you know, put the body on display and have guests over, essentially. There are funerary homes or funeral homes, and they are designed specifically to accommodate this practice. Mm-hmm. So you would have one big room and it would be, it's kind of like a little chapel in a way.
I was going to say, it's kind of like in a hotel when you have event rooms.
No, but the setup is like a chapel because you'd have like rows of chairs, like a pew
like
in
pews,
a chapel.
Yeah.
And the priest would come and hold a mass, right?
Instead of Jesus, there's a body.
Yeah. And to the funeral homes that I remember going to, what would happen is the coffin of the deceased would be in front.
Yes.
And obviously, it would be open casket. You would have... big funeral flower arrangements on the side. Typically, the mayor would send something.
And it says there on the big flowers, it'll say condolence to so-and-so's family from like important person here.
Or mayor something something, vice mayor something, your boss, etc. Behind that area is typically a living quarters for
like
the family.
Yeah, like a rest area for the family.
And we'll get to why that has to happen, right? But the living quarters for the family, typically 3 to 4 people would be there at any point in time. Then you would have the guests. And then the back of the room, there would be like
Buffet area,
right? Now, some people can't afford to do it in funeral homes. So they actually do it like, especially in like, poor communities and stuff like that, they do it like on the street.
Yes.
And so if you're like passing through the smaller alleyways in the city
in Madras,
you couldn't pass through
because
they would block off the road, and it would be perfectly fine. It's allowed. The barangay council, the village council allows it because it's a funeral. They're
sometimes they
that.
Sponsor it. So sometimes on the tents, there's like the name of the
course,
village.
Any chance to put their name out there.
Branding. Yeah.
And there would be like tables. It's almost like it's a party. There would be like tables and chairs, people hanging out.
Gambling.
And that would be 24/7.
Yes.
24/7 for the entire
karaoke
of the week. for us, in our case, we did it in the province. So we did it in our house.
Yep.
And our house is like a bit of open floor concept. Mm-hmm. So we basically put all of the furniture like on the sides of the wall. And then so there'd be nothing in the middle, and that's where all the guests would come in. And then the casket is there, like, on the side.
Yeah.
Because obviously we have a crucifix on the wall, so it's near where the crucifix is.
That's fair.
And then there would be the official, like, wake observation would be in the top floor, and the bottom floor would be all the gamblers and stuff.
We had, when my grandma and my granddad died in Batangas, we had it inside the house. And then in the main house, inside the house, that's when you would come in, you would look at the body, blah, blah, blah. The seats were on all on the sides, like you said. And then outside was the eating.
Karaoke.
The cockfighting would happen there. Really important. Also, the catering would also be out there. But for us, we would have a bench in front of the casket.
Yeah.
Where there always needs to be someone there.
And so watching over. So yeah. The belief is that you can't ever leave the coffin alone.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, maintain a vigil, like, 24/7. Mm-hmm. So, like, there would be shifts.
Yeah.
Right? And usually the youngest ones, like us,
yeah,
we would have to take the 2 a.m. shift, etc. So at least one person has to stay awake the entirety of the time and watching over the body. The belief is that it's to keep evil spirits.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or even aswang.
Ooh.
Or monsters from stealing the dead body.
I didn't know that. I should have been prepared.
There were some...
Should have had a steak.
Exactly. So remember, there are some beliefs that there are certain beings like the Kalag, for example, yes, who steal away
ghouls,
bodies of dead people and replace it with, like, banana banana trunks and stuff like that.
Yes.
So that belief carried through. Obviously, it, like, softened out in the later years. And now it's like, you know, just so the soul won't leave the body prematurely and stuff like that. But that's the reason why that's why it feels like a party, because, like, you have to keep yourself entertained. So there'd be bingo, there'd be mahjong, there'd be card, like, games,
in
karaoke.
Batangas, they have this thing called, it's called sakla. It's like a roulette.
Yeah.
It's like a roulette, and the cards are pretty good. They're really cool. But the thing is, I said, like, why do they have it during weeks? Because the people who are holding it, of course, the house, it's like a traveling casino, they want to be in a place where there's a lot of people. And that's usually a
way. But that's not allowed, because the superstition is that any of the earnings for gambling goes toward the family.
Yeah, so the family does get a cut.
Yeah, but so they're supposed to get everything, technically. No. I don't know. Maybe profits. Is that the...
Maybe profits. Maybe
not
maybe
revenue.
Means, like, yeah, revenue. There's a spreadsheet of superstition. So it's net costs.
So linked to that, there are also candles around the coffin, right?
Yes.
And the belief is also the candles should never go out.
They're like electric.
Yeah. Eventually they became electric. But they should never go out, because otherwise the departed might get lost or have a hard time finding their way to the afterlife. And you have to light a new candle right before the old one
You can't chain smoke the candles. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
So, like, you know how sometimes when, like, you're chain smoking, you use the old cigarette to light the other cigarette. So sometimes for candles, you use the old... So this I know because I got yelled at when my Lolo died and I was supposed to replace the candle. So I was going to get the old candle and light the new candle with the...
It's not allowed.
They're like, no.
Because you're continuing the chain of death.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that theme.
Chain things. Like I'm sure you're going to get to the rosary one.
Yeah. So for example... other beliefs have to do with how do you make sure that you're not exposed to the spirits, meaning you don't see or hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason we don't put shoes on the corpses is because it's believed they walk around, and if they are wearing shoes, you're going to hear them around the house. This is also the reason why you have to cover all of the mirrors.
Oh,
because otherwise you're going to see them.
There's also
have to avoid looking at your own reflection and stuff like that.
There's also an Irish tradition like that, and also a Jewish tradition. When you're mourning, you cover the mirrors too.
Yeah, because the ghosts will be very visible.
Yee!
And the thing is, right, there's a belief that younger children have a closer connection to their third eye.
Yeah.
So you will hear accounts of, like, little kids playing with dead relatives or talking to them or getting nightmares. And what they actually do is, and it is funny because in obviously when you go to a funeral, you're not allowed to wear bright colors, right? Yeah. You have to wear black, you have to wear white.
Yeah.
But to prevent this, to prevent the kids from encountering or seeing ghosts, you have to get them to wear red.
Oh, did you know that? No, we didn't know. We didn't practice it. No, we didn't practice it.
But that's what they said.
Oh.
And it's funny because when, I think when my grandfather died, I remember I was hanging out with my little cousin. She was like 4 years old at the time. She was, 3 years old. Anyway, so she was still drinking her milk from the bottle. So maybe she was 2 years old. And then at some point, like, I was just chatting with someone else. And then she was waving at the window. And we ignored it. And then she kept doing it. And then we were like, hey, what are you doing? What are you looking at? And she's like, oh, it's Tatang.
Oh.
So we called her grandfather. So we're like, oh, he's here.
When I was a little kid, when I was about Tegan's age, about 2 years old, we were at my granddad's house, and in their house, my great uncle, matandang binata na. He's called Tito Tinoy, and he used to hang out in the porch all the time.
Okay.
But he had died.
Okay.
So I was, we had gone from somewhere else. I think it was his funeral or something, but we had gone from somewhere else and we were all going inside, and I wanted to stay in the porch and everyone else was outside. And then they could hear me chatting like blah, 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 blah.
How old are you?
I was about Tegan's age, like 2 years old. So it was like babble and stuff. And then when I finally came inside, they said like, oh, who are you talking to outside? And I said, Tito Tinoy. And he was already dead. Dun, dun, dun.
Because you didn't wear red. It's your fault.
I don't know. Are you going to talk about like what you do to kids for after?
So the other thing that they observe, and we don't practice this. I've never heard it. But in some areas, you actually have to keep one family member from viewing.
What? It's like what? Like what is it called? No, they have this thing in the US. Designated survivor?
Yeah, like a designated survivor. No, but it, so a lot of the beliefs, so we'll get into what the core kind of foundation of these superstitions are, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the beliefs have to do with breaking the cycle of death.
Yes.
Which means they're like, if you're doing something that connotes like repetitiveness, etc., you have to break that cycle.
Yep.
There's this practice where you actually cut a rosary, because you leave a rosary in the casket, but right before held by the body, by the deceased, right before you bury it, you have to cut the rosary because it's all about cutting that cycle.
Yep.
So is it in the same vein, you keep one person from viewing the body so that the disease doesn't come back and visit the whole family, or that's else so you guys will die.
We've never done that. Yeah. What we've done though is like, if someone is pregnant, they don't usually go to the wake.
Yeah. That's true. There's something about, what's this? Where am I? There's something as well with regard to like food, because which links with what we were talking about, because you're not allowed to serve pancit. Pancit is like noodles.
For long, like, no, really? Because we did that.
Because the opposite thing for birthdays, right? And this is more of a Chinese influence.
We should do a birthday episode.
Yeah, is you're supposed to eat noodles during your birthday because that promotes long life. So in the same vein, you don't serve noodles.
How
and maybe spaghetti in a funeral.
Oh no.
Because you know, otherwise you will
perpetuate
extend the mourning period. Wow. Also, I think this is an Ilocano belief. So Ilocos is in the
north.
In the northern region. They don't serve malunggay dishes.
Malunggay.
So malunggay is a vegetable. It's composed of like a thin branch with like a lot of like stems and then multiple little leaves. And in order to prepare it, you actually snip. No, so in practice, it's snipping off the leaves one by one. Okay. So they're saying you shouldn't prepare malunggay because similar to stripping the leaves off one by one, it symbolizes the relatives of the deceased dying one after another.
I never knew that. But then
so no tinola.
No tinola. For, no tinola. And also for, no and also
no pancit.
Malunggay is something that's usually served for lactating moms.
Mm.
It's a tea, like you have malunggay tea that you have so that you'll have more milk. And I wonder if it's there's like a, one of those diametrically opposed like life and death.
Yeah,
type
probably
of things, right?
Like the pancit.
Keep the malunggay with the breastfeeding moms, and then you can eat something else like Kongguan biscuits. Like, in the Philippines. That's what you used to bring, right? If you're visiting someone, you have to bring a giant thing of cookies.
Exactly. Yeah. So those were the things that they said, right? And obviously, if you're the one who's like watching over the place, you're not supposed to sweep the floor.
Yes.
Right? This is a common one because it's interpreted as if like you're banishing the spirit of the dead from the house.
And he needs to hang out for a while.
Exactly. He needs to hang out. He needs to see that all of you are celebrating.
He needs to see a lot of people crying.
But it's so that's one of the beliefs. But the other belief is that, you know, in the similar vein, it's like one of the family members will follow into the afterlife.
Okay.
So instead, they have very specific instructions. So instead of sweeping, you should just pick up the trash and wipe the floor with a wet cloth.
Yes. I remember this. Like we were just picking up the trash. If you have flowers and the flowers would fall down, you can't sweep them. You have to pick it up.
The one that we didn't follow is the one where you don't shower or comb your hair in the place where the wake is happening. Because that's said to bring like bad luck. But for me, like it was our house. Like what would we do?
Yeah.
Right? We didn't follow it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're not supposed to shower or comb your hair, supposedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The interesting one that I saw was that I remembered was so you're not allowed to, so you're allowed to cry, obviously.
Yes.
But you're not allowed to let your tears fall on the casket.
Really?
Glass plate.
Why not?
Because it's going to give the dead person a hard time moving on. Because they're going to be burdened by your feelings.
Oh.
It won't let them
You need
move
to give
on.
Him closure.
Yeah.
Before.
Like.
I know you
hide your feelings, keep them to yourself.
You have to do the Miss Universe style of crying where you look up and then you sort of like
you fan your eyelids.
Like, oh my, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna
or just bring a handkerchief.
Dab,
but apparently, you can't let tears fall on the casket.
What? That's so weird.
I found this super interesting and I think it was featured in a horror movie at some point. There's
Sukob.
No. Sukob is about the wedding, right?
Yeah, but there's also death.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
So this one is, it's called the Bulong. Where it's said that because the spirit of the deceased goes to heaven or the afterlife, you can whisper your wishes to them. So if you whisper your wishes in their ear, they will carry your wishes to heaven and it will help you.
These are missed opportunities.
It will help you get your wish granted.
Oh, man, hours I spent in front of my granddad.
But some people say that you shouldn't do this because even if you get what you want, there will be terrible consequences as a result of it.
It's like the evil genie paradox.
Exactly. Because like, who are they taking
what if
this
you
wish
say,
to?
If you say like, I want more wishes and then more people.
Oh no. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so those are the things, some of the things that you practice, like, if you're, like, part of the family during the week. But the interesting one is what you talked about, which is, like, what do you do if you're visiting a week? And there's one specific section that's all about, like, if you're a girl. And I just found it so interesting and so misogynistic. So you're not allowed to go if you're... No, you're allowed to go if you're pregnant, but you're not allowed to look at the body, so you're not allowed to view it because they believe that it will result in a difficult delivery or bad luck or even death to your unborn child, right? Because it's like you're inviting death in.
But I think this has roots in, like, you know how a lot of feng shui is weird and like nonsensical, but some of it actually makes a lot of sense. Like how you're not supposed to build a house in like a T area of a street. If the street ends in a T, your house shouldn't be at that pinnacle of the T. It's because people can get into accidents and hit your house, right? But I think the thing about the woman, not the pregnant woman, not coming to the body, it's similar to the pregnant woman. It also should not be able to go, should not go to a hospital to visit sick people, because you can really pick up infections.
That's true.
What if the person died from an infection, right? You pick up an infection that the baby has no immunity to.
Yeah.
So that's actually,
it that makes was probably like sense. The practical origin of it. Like, especially if they died from a disease. Sure, you shouldn't be there. I think the, obviously the supernatural explanation for it is that, you know, like the spirit of the child hasn't fully merged with the body of the child. So you're kind of like, you know,
playing around,
mingling and all of that. So
playing around.
No viewing. But also, if you're on your period, you're not allowed to.
What? What's the logic in that?
So you're not, there's no logic. So you should refrain from attending funerals or visiting wakes if you're on your period. If you violate this superstition, you will have foul smelling menses month after month. I don't know.
I don't know. Also, menses does smell fine of foul. I mean, maybe you're sick. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you got sick from whatever that dead person got. Like, is endometriosis contagious?
But yeah, it's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
And so if you're a guest, speaking of food, right? One of the most common superstitions is you're not allowed to bring home food.
Yes.
From a wake.
Yes.
Right? Not even like a tiny piece of candy. Mm-hmm. And I remember this because I think when I was like super young, I wanted to like take home like, and I think it was like XO coffee candy or something. Kopiko.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, no, you have to leave that behind. And I was like, why? So you have to eat it all while you're in the funeral, because if you don't, you're going to bring along bad luck with you, or you're going to bring home the spirit of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't know about was, do you know that when you sneeze during a wake, someone has to pinch you?
Ew, why?
Because they say that when you sneeze during a wake, the spirit of the dead takes that as an invitation to visit your house.
What?
So you have to, like, say you sneeze.
What if you're allergic to the smell of the flowers?
Then you just keep getting pinched.
You got a pollen allergy.
No, you're going to be like, pinch me, pinch me.
Why pinch?
I don't That's know. So
What if I've got hay fever?
Exactly. Like, you're allergic to, like, the anthuriums that
know. Anthurium is such a dead person thing, right? Anthuriums
That's
and lilies.
That's unfortunate. I mean, it's a good-looking flower. Even lilies. I love lilies.
I know.
But they're always
lilies. And what's
associated
the other one?
With an
and, like, calachuchi. It's not for arrangements, but, like, as a tree. It's like, oh, it's like death, the death tree.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
because we had one in front of our house before, and they were like, oh, this bad luck, because it's a death tree. And our neighbor now on our on our street has this really healthy calachuchi, and we should post pictures of calachuchi. I was telling Ted, I said, oh, I want to ask my neighbor if we can get a cutting, because I want to grow calachuchi. And she's like, you don't want that in your house, because it's a tree of death.
I don't know about that, because there's so many calachuchis.
I know, that's what I
like
was going to say.
Even in temples, there are calachuchis.
I know, they're really pretty.
Yeah.
And they're very Japanese vibing.
Yeah.
But what about...
There's also one which says that you can't visit more than 1 week in a day.
What if you're the mayor?
Huh?
But sometimes the mayor goes to like different wakes in a day.
Well, his funeral.
That's Binay. That's what Binay used to do.
Otherwise you might be the one to die next, or one of your relatives.
But that can just be like...
The most well-known one.
Yeah.
And there have been movies. There's a movie like most recently made about this. Is Pagpag.
Yeah.
Which basically says that you shouldn't go straight home after a wake. Instead, you kind of stop over at a public area.
Before you leave, if you're a guest, let's say you're a guest and you're visiting, like, for example, a relative of mine had passed. And when you come visit me and you're about to leave, I can't take
you. Yeah, you can't bring them to the door.
I can't bring you to the door, which is a very Filipino thing. Usually, you take someone visited you, you take them to the door.
Yeah.
But me as the namatayan, or like the person who has had a dead relative, can't take you to the door. But then when you leave, you can't go home.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because the person who goes with the guests to the door to see them out might be the next one to die, mm-hmm. right? There's also a belief that says, like, if someone tells you condolences, you're not allowed to say thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're thankful that someone has died and then they're going to take someone else from you or something.
Yes. It's tempting fate.
Exactly.
It's a lot of tempting fate.
Exactly. So, back to pagpag. So, after you leave a funeral...
What does the word pagpag mean for non-Tagalog speakers?
So, pagpag means to dust it off. To, like, dust off dirt or like, dust.
So, from, like, from if yourself. You have a blanket...
Or to shake like it rug, off.
You shake it off.
Shake off something.
Pagpag something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, what was I saying? So, after a funeral, you go and stop over at a public area or a neutral location. And usually it would be like a sari-sari store, a mall, a gas station, a coffee shop. Because it's believed that if you go home directly, you risk bringing death or evil spirits or the spirit of the dead person you visited into your home.
Yes. So or your business, in your business.
I'm curious, what's like the most pagpag location?
Depends.
In Manila.
Depends.
Like... Is there like a specific gas
Starbucks.
Station?
I think
or Starbucks near like the biggest funeral home.
Yes.
And are there stories? I tried to look. I couldn't find any, but I bet
there are.
Because if this is a look, and maybe that's a, I don't know. Is there a movie about it? Like this is the place that everyone goes to pagpag. Mm. Like what's going on in that area?
I think my guess. In our area, in Pasay City, in Villamoran, in the Fort area, the Starbucks in Magallanes was a very popular place to pagpag if you went to, like, the funeral homes in Magallanes, in Makati, in Fort. The Starbucks in Magallanes was a very, very popular pagpag place.
Ooh.
In the north, I don't know.
What are the stories from there?
In the north, I don't know.
Inquiring minds. I like know. To know.
What's that?
What's that sound?
I don't know. Someone made pagpag in your bedroom.
Oh, well.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, in a similar vein, so I think in Visayas, they believe also that you have to immediately change your clothes upon going home.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be going around your house in the clothes that you wore in the week. So that you're not like, so that the spirit of the dead is not like clinging to you or something, right? I think, how long was it? Like in 2013, there was a movie that came out during the Metro Manila Film Festival.
Yes.
So guys, every December, there's like this film festival in the Philippines and a lot of like big movies usually come out at that time.
And no other movies are allowed to be shown. Except for films in the Metro Manila Film Festival.
So all of the December release Marvel movies, Star Wars movies.
Harry Potter.
We can't watch them until after January because...
After like the first week of January.
It's like how many weeks? 2 weeks of the
From December 25th.
One week.
From Christmas to... Yeah.
When people have the most money, basically.
Yes,
it's a very good, marketing scheme. So there was a movie called Pagpag Siyam na Buhay, which means dust it off, nine lives. And it tells a story of these nine people who all attended the same funeral and they broke the superstitions in what happens.
It's like Final Destination.
It's
Pinoy
like
style.
Final Destination because I think the spirit of the person who died
was Devon
like
Sawa.
he owed like nine souls.
Oh.
To like the devil or something, and so he kind of chased them one by one, and so they broke the usual superstition. So someone forgot to like make pagpag, which is to stop off somewhere else before going home. Someone swept the floor while they were awake. Someone like let their teardrop fall on the coffin. They used the mirror. Forgot they brought home food. So all these usual things we talked about, they broke it. And then what happened to them?
They all died.
So. Did they though? Did they? So it stars Daniel Padilla and Catherine Bernardo.
Oh, babies.
The, what do they call them? The teen.
Catniel.
Teen king and queen. Are they still teens now? They're not teens.
No, they're probably like 30 years old or something.
No, they're like 20
something. They're like 20 something. Yeah,
20 something.
But they're adults now. They're not ingenues anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a movie about specifically that belief.
I love that. I love all these educational movies.
I know, right? Educational. I think a lot of the horror movies are really based on superstitions and folk beliefs, right? Like sukob, feng shui, and stuff like that.
Are you going to talk about the death / wedding overlap Venn diagram of superstition?
I don't know that.
You don't know that?
What,
so
no.
In the, because we found, me. So, okay, so the other day, context, the other day we had a ex-coworker Zoom reunion. One of our friends, Jill, was unable to join because her brother surprise wedding that day. Why was it a surprise wedding? Because in Chinese Filipino culture, if a parent or a direct relative, a parent or a grandparent dies, no one can get married until a year after.
Okay, so similar, because it's a mourning period.
Or within 100 days.
What?
Right?
Where did this 100 days come from?
I don't know. So you either wait 1 year to get married or you get married within the first 100 days.
Oh my goodness.
So that's what they did because he was already engaged and so they didn't want to wait another year. So let's say, oh, okay, let's just get married today. So that's what happened.
Love it.
I know.
I love it.
It's a weird death overlap.
I love the random loophole.
I don't get the logic of the... I get the logic of the mourning. I don't get the logic of like, okay, but there's like a grace period for 100 days. Maybe so the dad can attend. The spirit
is still hanging around.
Maybe.
So then they can attend. But then while they're out, they're like, it's rude, man. Like...
But also, you kind of wonder.
But that gives you like a random 9 month time
period. Yeah, but it's like it's kind of weird. So I'm thinking operationally, what does like the hotels in the Philippines like they bank these secret days just in case there needs to be a surprise because these weddings are still full production. I've seen a couple of them. They're still super full production.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
I'm sure there's still openings here and there.
Like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The surprise cancellation ones.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it was like so abrupt. And we were like, oh, okay. I couldn't come to the Zoom call because my brother got married today. What? Okay.
Well, I mean, rather than waiting a year, I guess. Yeah, it makes sense.
I know, me too.
Just like how, you know, so we in the first episode, we talked about like wedding superstitions, right? The idea of sukob, which is if your brother or sister gets married, you can't get married within a year, or you get married the same day.
Yeah. You get married the same day. Or there was another one I forgot to say, but we're off tangent. But if your older sibling is not married, a wedding one. Yeah. So for example, we're siblings. I'm older than you. If you get married before me, you have to give me a gift. Because you messed up the order.
That's not a superstition. That's just respect.
I know, right? But yeah.
You have to give a gift
to
the sister?
To the older sibling, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Could be like something of high value like jewelry or like pañuelito. Mm. Mm. That's it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know what's funny? I just remembered now. You know how like you're not allowed to like bring home food, right?
Yes.
From a week. You know what's funny is that there's so many like superstitions regarding food, but one of them is if the person who died lived to a very long age, you should eat a lot. They say in the funeral so that you can like emulate that. Like you also live a long life.
Ate a lot when my grandmother had a wake.
I don't really see how that necessarily follows. But okay. And then so after you go to a wake or a funeral, there are other ways that you can kind of prevent the spirit of a dead from following you home. So I think this is specific to funeral. I'm not sure. But after going home from the burial site, you have to step over burning grass.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
To prevent like the spirit of the dead from following you. So they would burn some grass outside and then you'd step over it.
Do you know that like the thing
go back in the house?
Do you know the thing when they're gonna put the casket into like the tomb, like into the box.
So there are a whole set of like stuff about like the burial
the
itself.
Yeah.
But this is about like going home. In some other places it's you wash your hands in cold water with guava leaves.
Yeah. Antibacterial.
Because it washes away the bad luck.
When you boil the guava
but
leaves.
But also probably antibacterial. Yeah. So probably a lot of the root of these superstitions are also very practical, right?
Yeah, and they're very, you know, actually very sanitary. Yeah. And also, I don't know if they have that in other cultures. Maybe it means that the Filipino obsession with sanitary things.
Oh, yeah.
Go back much farther than we think it does, right? Because guava, when you boil guava leaves in water and cool it off, it's called langas. It's panglangas. And like, for example, if you have like a circumcision, that's the only thing that you should use to wash like the circumcised area.
Really?
And yeah. And for women who give birth.
Oh, that's true.
Because so in the Philippines, it's not, for women who give birth, it's not tradition like the Chinese to not shower. You can, but you have to use that same guava tea mixture.
Huh.
Langas, yeah. It's antibacterial.
Interesting.
Alka-gel. Old school Alka-gel.
Okay, so now we go to the last section of the superstitions, which is more around, okay, now that you've been
dead,
observing for a while, like what happens when you finally go into the like last stage of the burial? Right?
There's so many. Yeah.
So one of the things that they do is, so
should make a checklist
during a wake, right? You collect contributions.
Yes.
So sometimes people give mass cards, and the practice is you give like money to the family, right?
Yeah.
It's called abuloy, which is like assistance.
Yes,
basically. So you either give like an envelope with the money. In some other places, there's like a collection bin,
yeah,
or collection plate, and then you put money there. So obviously, the etiquette is you're not allowed to use the money for anything else.
Yeah.
Other than the funeral expenses. Otherwise, you're going to get haunted by the deceased.
Shopping.
I know, right? There's actually a practice where, what's this? You put cash in the hands of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So in some areas, like it's a rosary.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
And then in other areas, you also put cash. And it's kind of like their fare in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
So think of like, you know, what the Greeks did is they put coins on the eyelids of the deceased. So in a similar vein, this is like their payment for the trip to the afterlife.
My grandma had like $1,000.
Yeah, but actually, it said that it's weird because people take this money.
Huh?
Right before the burial, you take back the money. And it can serve as a...
But you don't have
It will serve as a lucky charm for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we can
do that.
I guess so.
It already works in the wake or something like that.
I guess.
So they said that you,
maybe
if you
the
keep
spirit
the money,
of the money is left.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like a ghost money.
So if you use the money, if you keep the money with you, you'll be lucky forever. Or if you want like a business venture to go really well, use part the money as capital.
Oh.
And then the business venture will go really well.
It for some reason it reminds me of, you know, when you go to a Changge, and then when you buy something, and if you're like the first person to buy
mano.
That in Bueno Mano, which is first hand, and the person will take your money, and then they'll like pagpag it to the other part, to like the other goods and wares for good luck.
For good luck, yeah. If you're the first ever person to buy,
mm-hmm,
they'll pat the money all around their goods. That's such a cool
practice. I like that.
They also have to check the hands of the deceased. So if the empty hands of the deceased are clenched into fists, the family will have monetary problems. But if their hands are open, then it's all
What about a rigor mortis?
Tough luck.
I mean, what if it was clenched? I don't
know. Tough luck.
That's weird.
And so this is super interesting. They say that if the person died by murder or unjust means, you place a chick on top of the coffin, a sisiu.
Like before burying it?
Yeah, during the wake. And you leave rice grains on the coffin. So whenever the chick pecks at the grains, the murderer's conscience will be eaten away too. In some areas, they bury the chick with the coffin because it says that then the murderer will follow.
Poor chick. I don't know. I've never been to any murders. I have been.
Did they?
I think they did. I think I was...
I'm like, poor innocent chick, man.
I think so. I'll have to check with my parents. But I remember going to a wake and like, why is there a chick inside the house?
Yeah.
Yeah. My uncle got ambushed. Yes.
Where?
Batangas.
Why?
different theories, but nothing really conclusive. But he was murdered, for sure.
Should have asked the chick.
I know.
So, and then one of the things that they make sure of is that wherever there is a door, the feet of the dead person should be facing the door, so that it'll be easier for the soul of the deceased to enter the next world.
Okay.
But weirdly enough, when you take the casket out, mm-hmm. it has to be head first.
Yes.
So that they won't come back to yes. haunt anyone.
Yes.
And obviously, like, when you're carrying the casket out, you shouldn't bump it anywhere when you go outside to prevent additional deaths.
Yes.
But also just for practical purposes, like, you know.
You pay a lot of money for the casket.
Be careful with it, you know?
Yeah.
The interesting one that I think we don't practice in particular, but I think it's an Ilocano belief, is you break a plate. So right after you bring the casket out of the house. Place or out of the house, you smash a plate. And again, it's about breaking the cycle of death.
I don't think I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes, especially when they believe that it was an untimely death,
mm-hmm.
they want to break the curse or break the cycle. So you break a plate. So mm-hmm. it's also the reason why sometimes they put a bolo, which is a long sword, yes. in the coffin.
Yes.
It's also supposed to help yes. Break the curse.
Yeah.
In other provinces, they throw a clay pot or a palayok.
Mm-hmm.
And a palayok is not easy to break.
No. So you have to whack at it.
You have to really be like very forceful with it, because if the pot doesn't break, it means that there will be another death in the family soon.
Do you know that, you know, in birthday parties, instead of a piñata, yeah. we hit a palayok. And I didn't know that there are palayoks that they sell just for that purpose.
With thin bottoms.
So maybe that's what they should do for the funerals too. I mean, why
that's
waste good clay,
that's
right?
Not bad. Exactly. I mean, no, because for those of you who have never seen it, a palayok is a traditional clay pot in the Philippines. It has a very wide and thick bottom with mm-hmm. very thick clay. And this is what allows you to really slow cook something, mm-hmm. right? So my mom makes amazing slow cooked adobo. The meat of the chicken will fall off the bone you cook it in a palayok. But yeah. that's why it is notoriously hard to break.
Yep.
So that's a good business venture.
Right. Yeah. I'll get some of my dead grandma's money, put that into the business venture.
And then this is what you were saying earlier. When you bring the casket out of the house, all of the young people in the family, and, you know, sometimes even all of the relatives, no, it's under.
Oh, no, us is over.
No, that's after.
Ah.
Wait, sorry. You guys, I know you can't follow. So come with me on this. So when you bring the casket out of the house, the relatives have to pass under it.
Oh, we didn't do that.
Yeah. So you have to pass under it so that you can, you know, you can move on as a family and to prevent more deaths, obviously. Yeah. However, when you get into the burial site, so typically what happens is the house or the funeral home would be near the cemetery, ideally. Mm-hmm. So there would be a procession. So you pass under the casket, you bring it out of the house. You're not supposed to look back to the house during the procession.
I didn't know that.
Because when you look back at it, you will bring more bad... It's the same vein. Bad luck and death into your family. And also, if you're a random passerby and you see a funeral car passing by, you're supposed to throw coins under the hearse. And this will help contribute like fair money or toll money for the afterlife. So then, when you go into the church, so typically we bring the coffin to the church, we hold the mass, and then we eventually go to the tomb,
yeah.
right? Right before they bring the casket into the tomb, this is what Anna was saying, everyone has to go over the casket.
For us, it was just kids. It was just like anyone below 10 years old. Yeah.
The grandchildren would have to go over the casket, yeah. right? And they won't even put the casket to the ground.
No.
The casket is raised.
You have to lift the children.
And then you have to lift the children. And it is so awkward for me as the eldest child, because I was already very old, but I had to do it as well.
They had to lift you? How old were you?
I was like, so with my lolo, I was like 12. With my grandma, I was 25.
They never did it for me because I was, when my lolo died, I was already like, I think I was 14. And then when my other granddad died, I was 9, but I was already big, and there were like smaller kids. So they just did that for the smaller. I know. No, they don't do it in Cavite, where my granddad, when I was 9 years old, died. But in Batangas, they did it. So there's so many kids, because the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they had to do that. But for me, I was already like 17 or something, so they didn't
I didn't know there was a cutoff. I had to do it for my grandfather, and it felt so awkward. I was like,
You're so big.
Big nah. Oh, so that's it. And then you would typically bring all the flowers from the funeral parlor or from the wake, and you're supposed to bury the flowers
with the body.
And sometimes even the casket decorations you put.
Yeah, the ribbons and stuff. Yeah.
But you have to remember to remove all of the names.
Yes.
Because, for those of you who aren't familiar, when you have the open casket, typically there's like a satin cushion on the lid of the casket, and you actually have pictures of the deceased, but also the names of all the family
members. All the children who are commemorating
him, right? Yes. So you have to make sure that before he gets buried, you take all of those out. Because otherwise, they will follow him or her into the afterlife.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. So there's, that was a lot.
It is a lot.
And that's why I felt we needed to have a dedicated one. These are the current practices.
I have after funeral practices.
I only know the one about you have to change all of the curtains and the bed sheets.
In Batangas, they said that after the funeral, but they don't do this all the time, but they did this when my Lola died. After the funeral, you go back to the house and you pack up all the stuff of the deceased.
Really?
Yeah. So they did that. So they packed up all the stuff of my grandma and they put it in suitcases or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that was the first time I've heard of it. And my dad says, it's the pamahiin, it's a superstition, but I'd never heard it before that time.
I only heard the one where, like, you have to change all of the bed sheets and the curtains.
Which makes sense.
Which is also, like, I mean, so many people have been here.
Uh-huh.
Like, you should be cleaning.
I know. Which goes to show, like, maybe you should do that every time someone visits your house in pandemic times.
Actually, the one I forgot to mention was, apparently, if you're a widow,
uh-huh,
the widower, can't follow the funeral procession.
No, route. Really?
They have to take a different route.
Really?
Otherwise, they're going to follow. Like, really? The disease is going to make them follow them to the afterlife.
Wow.
I mean, isn't it inevitable, though?
Yeah.
Like, just in general.
I know. It's just weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, funerals, man, there's a lot. And I think a lot of them are... I think a lot of them are sanitation related and like contagion related as well.
In Mindanao, I don't know if it's still a common practice, but in Mindanao, you have to bury the body within 24 hours.
Is that a Muslim thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is also like due to sanitation. Sometimes it was because of like diseases and stuff like that. So
yeah, and maybe they didn't really embalm. Maybe it's not allowed to embalm. I don't know. In Jewish culture, someone has to be with the body the whole time during embalming, a relative. And then you have to witness.
Makes sense, because what if they steal organs actually you can't steal organs after a certain amount of time. But just to protect the body.
Yeah.
Oh my god, do you remember that movie Death Becomes Her?
I love Death Becomes Her.
Okay. Death Becomes Her stars Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Meryl Streep. And Goldie Hawn, and it's like super campy. Is it an 80s movie or 90s?
I think
movie?
It's an 80s movie, yeah.
And basically,
with like cameo Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah, yeah. And basically Bruce Willis is like the beautician for the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can like airbrush life into a dead body. So, Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, in the quest to stay young forever, take this potion that makes them
immortal.
Mm. But that means that your body can decay, but you'll stay alive.
Yeah.
So they kept Bruce Willis along, even though they both had complicated relationships with him, because he was the only one who could make them look young. And it was so disgusting, because as you progress through the film, they're really decaying. So like their skin is peeling off.
Their arms like are falling out. Their arms are like crooked.
So they have to bring along like spray cans to like spray themselves. Oh my God. So
it was a good movie.
I love that one.
It's so good.
I love that one. So that was part one of death, burial, and the afterlife. We're going to talk more about what are the other beliefs and practices of different indigenous tribes in the Philippines, both current practice and pre-colonial practice. So we'll talk about tribes, for example, that live with the dead body of their relatives in their house for weeks, months, and even years after death. Or certain tribes that actually use the fluids of the body as a sauce for certain dishes so that you would emulate the qualities of the
disease. But you know, this isn't uncommon in a lot of pre-colonial tribes.
And we share a lot of these same beliefs and practices with our neighboring countries. Like in Indonesia, they do that.
Yeah.
So
in Latin America, they do that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll also talk about, you know, how this links with some of the artifacts and even some of the sites that we have today. So, for example, Manunggal jars. And the idea of different levels of burials. Your first burial, your second burial, your third burial.
We talk about the Sagada hanging coffins.
Yes.
Yes.
And how do you get there? Who goes there? How do you qualify to get the place there? So that's what we're going to talk about in part two.
Yay!
So that's what we're going to cover in part two. So stay tuned for it. In the meantime, we talked about a lot of superstitions, but I'm sure there's some that we've missed. If there are any interesting ones that you want to share with us, please, we would love to learn and hear from you. Send us over a message through Anchor or through Instagram. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Died. Oh, much better. Okay.
They were singing.
Okay. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, saying this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die.
This has been an episode of
The Gods Must Be Crazy.
We hope that you enjoyed listening in. We will be posting episodes every other week or so. So, you know, please join us for the next one.
In terms of sources, where we got our stories, and how we know what we know, we try to do as much research as possible, within a reasonable amount of time, of course. And we try to stay close to the original tellers of the tale as much as possible. However, we do know that a lot of our mythology comes from oral tradition, stories that your grandma and your grandma's grandma and your grandma's grandma's grandma told you. So if our renditions or our stories are a little bit different from what you know and what you grew up with, please do let us know.
Follow us on Instagram at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod. We do post some additional information there. We post the teasers of what's coming next, you know, and any other things you may be curious about that we feature in our episodes. Who is Gardo Versos and why does he keep appearing in these different episodes? What are the different recipes that we feature for tinola and black rice and adobo and stuff like that? And obviously, it's where we would love to hear from you as well. If you have any other stories that you want to feature or maybe requests of things that you want us to feature. There's also a way to directly talk to us and share any of your stories. So if you go to our anchor.fm website, there's a button there with a plus sign and it says message, and you can actually record voice notes or voice memos for us to listen to and also possibly feature in the episodes themselves.
And of course, where you do listen to us, whatever platform it could be, please do rate, review, subscribe, download. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on Audible.
Yeah.
So please share with your friends, tag your friends on our social media, And share your stories too, if you feel like it.
Yeah, the best way to support, you know, young and new podcasts like us is really just to spread the word out. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, put in a rating and maybe a review of what you like about the show. Or if not, you know, just share it with your friends on social media. And, you know, that would be really, really helpful for us. So until next time.
Bye.